Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Your host hasn't seen everything in sports, but sometimes he acts like it, and his guests probably have. Now, the host of Scorecard Scribblings, your sports guy, Brent Weber.
All right, thank you, Jared King. I'm Brent Weber. Thanks for joining us tonight. I am live in studio. We don't normally take phone calls. Might do that a little bit later on. We had a couple of guests that we had lined up, but not able to join us tonight, but... Well, one of them may still be able to. We just have to wait and see. We're going to talk a little bit about high school football, our game of the week, let you know how that is shaping up. We're going to take a look at two big games, in fact. We're going to tune in live to a second game during our game of the week. That'll just make Jared King's life a little bit more difficult back here. But surprise, Jared, we're going to, during our game of the week on Friday night, West Valley hosting Lassen. And what I have said for quite some time, I think, is one of the best football matchups of the North State this season. Because I had already selected that game, I thought about changing it. We thought about changing it to Foothill at Shasta. I just didn't feel like that was fair to the promise at West Valley. We're not the NFL after all, right? So, but what I have done is I've talked with my friend Dan Miller, who joined me on last week's broadcast, and Dan is going to go to the Shasta game, and he's going to call in reports score by score, and after each quarter during our broadcast. So Jared will figure out how we'll get those on, whether we tape them or I just try to hit them live or whatever. But either way, looking forward to that. That'll basically have a live presence at those two big games. There are other big games this weekend down in Butte County. Chico at PV is another pretty huge one. So we're going to talk about the matchup for our game of the week, and we can talk a little bit about Foothill Shasta. I have the TV on in the background. If you don't want me to spoil it, Barrick Fasking, if you're listening driving home, you probably shouldn't listen. Although I don't have much to tell you, but I will keep people up to date on Game 7 of the World Series. You know, we have some guys with some playoff experience. Of course, Bill Plummer in town, longtime North State resident. He played in the World Series and was part of maybe the best teams in baseball history. And, of course, we talked to Rick Bassetti last week about his playoff experience a little bit. I had the chance to cover, obviously I wasn't a player, but I had the chance to cover quite a few playoff games. If I go back, I covered the Atlanta Braves. I think the highlight of my career, one of the highlight nights of my career, was when I was in Atlanta. I was still working in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and it was the first time any National League Championship Series had been decided on a walk-off, essentially, when Sid Bream scored on Francisco Cabrera's game-winning hit. I was with the media at that time. I was behind the right field wall next to the foul pole. There were just a couple of little slits that we could look out of, and there were probably 30 of us. So all the crews had to sit out there. Nowadays, they make room for you underneath. They have places where you can stage out on the field. But we had to run in from right field. All of us, the print reporters, I was working in television for a station in Chattanooga, Tennessee at that point, and later on I would work for CNN Sports. But I remember the highlight. I was actually looking Hey, Carl Bott, how are you doing? I was actually looking through this little slit about 6 inches wide and calling out to the other guys, some of the other guys, what was happening on that play. So I was calling a little one-on-one, play-by-play, if you will, of that play. I still can't believe that incredible play. Of course, it was the kind of the turning point for the Atlanta organization as they became the team to beat for the next decade and a half. And they're still one of those, quite frankly. But that was a long time ago. So, yeah, you can listen in the background. I am keeping an eye on the game. Houston's leading Washington 1-0 in the fourth inning. And so that shouldn't ruin it too bad if you're taping it or something like that. Or not taping it. Boy, I dated myself there. Recording it back home. But I'll keep you up to date on that. But anyway, I was talking about playoffs. I've had the chance to cover some baseball playoffs, covered the Braves Twins in the World Series, Braves Blue Jays in the World Series. That was when I was working in the Southeast. Then when I went to CNN, I was on the West Coast. So in the playoffs, I covered the Dodgers. I covered the Angels hard game. I believe it was the first wild card series when the Braves beat the Rockies in Colorado. If my memory serves me correct, it was actually the day that the O.J. Simpson verdict came out. And I was ecstatic to be on a plane out of L.A. to Denver to be able to cover that game instead of to have to run around and get interviews with sports figures in L.A. Based on that. So you can imagine why. But I got to the ballpark, and that night I will never forget Don Baylor. He ran out of hitters, and he had to send pitcher Lance Painter into bat. And I think it was Mark Wohlers. Who was throwing 100 miles an hour, and Painter was not a hitter. He was a relief pitcher at that point, and it was sad. He just blew him away, and the Braves won that wild card series over the Rockies. So that was one of them that I covered, and I guess I could think of a few others over time, but as far as the playoffs go, I had the chance to cover quite a few, and a couple of World Series as well. So, you know, it is always fun. It is always special. I covered, I think the last playoffs I covered for Fox Sports was Dodgers-Mets at Old Shea Stadium. And that was when all those Dodgers players, Sean Green, Mike Piazza, they'd kind of dismantled the old Dodgers. Fox had taken over the team for a while, and there were a whole lot of people wanting to stick it to the Dodgers at that point, and including a few of those former players like Piazza. Sean Green would have never said so, but he was very happy. And I just remember that being a very happy Mets clubhouse. So we're going to we can keep you up to date on baseball. I'm going to have a coming up in the next segment. I'll go to the Wayback Machine. I'm going to try to rack up a story from earlier in my career every week if we can. I'll call it the Glory Days segment. Might have to dust off a little a little Bruce Springsteen for the next one, but that'll be coming up. It'll be a story about a great Houston Astros player who I did a feature on many years ago, who eventually did indeed, and didn't look like he would for a while, make the Hall of Fame. So we'll have that coming up next segment. We'll also talk college football. We'll bring you up to date on what is in store for the Shasta College Knights and Brian Hamilton's club. They are still right in the thick of things. They can make the postseason. They can make one of the junior college bowl games, or they can finish on the outside looking in. They have control of their own destiny, and we'll talk a little bit about that coming up. We've got a call in to Brian Hamilton, and we're not sure if he's going to be able to join us. But if he does, I would look for that to come up at sometime after 6:15, 6:30. And he is always a pleasure to talk with. So those are just a couple of the things we're going to talk about tonight. Thanks for joining us on Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will talk preview of the high school football game of the week coming up on Friday night. Stay with us.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
Absolutely fell in love with everything about the facilities here. The kitchen crew is awesome. The meals are wonderful. I find it interesting as I look around the dining room how every table seems pleasantly happy. I mean, they're not just sitting there eating. There's conversation. I mean, everybody here, everyone that works here has treated me like I am special. I mean, it's just amazing.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web.
Can you hear, Brent?
RiverCommons.com.
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, I got that plane in the background.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Wild Thing! You make my heart sing. You walk everything.
Hey, even though we're going to talk football, you can't mind coming in with a little Wild Thing from a major league. We're gonna jump ahead. I mentioned we were going to talk high school football, but Coach Brian Hamilton has just left the practice field with his Shasta College Knights, and we don't want him to get too far gone into game planning before. So appreciate you calling in, Coach. At least you have football weather, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful out. You know, we've been a little windy, as everybody knows, and we've had our campus shut down because of the wind and the PG&E, so we've been trying to work around that, but it's absolutely gorgeous out this evening, so we're looking forward to having a good end of the week here and then getting up to Weed, California on Saturday for a big rivalry game, and it's supposed to be beautiful up there, so we love football in the fall around here, for sure.
Well, I tell you, the last time we talked didn't work out exactly as hoped, because you had on the horizon that off week going into a big game, and you wound up losing that game coming off of an off week, and that is the only loss on the year. But we'll talk about this one, but when we look at the schedule, we can't take this week lightly, obviously, at College of Siskiyou's, but you have destiny in your own hands, right, this last three games.
Yeah, you know, we were sitting, you know, obviously at 6-1, and going into the season, we had some goals, and sitting at 6-1, we're still in position to, you know, get those goals and catch, you know, some season, you know, a great season and those type of things. But we're honestly just taking it day by day, and this time of year, you're battling injuries. We've battled some things here with obviously with the shutdowns and things. And so we can't look too far ahead of our schedule. We're just focused on this week, honestly focused on, I know it's cliche, but it's true, focused on tomorrow's practice and making sure that we're dialed up, because we know that we can just throw the records out on this game. It's going to be a tough ball game, and we're expecting to get Siskiyou's very best. And it's been a while since we've won up there, so you know, we're focused on 100% laser focused on Saturday.
Well, and I mean, I guess they're winless in the season, but that program obviously has been through a lot, and so for those players and the coaches that are there, this would make their whole season worthwhile if they could throw a wrench into your plans.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, you know, that's what rivalries are about. You regardless of the record, you know, their coaches are saying the same thing we are. It's going to be a tough ball game. It's one you look forward to. It's one you circle on your schedule. And so we are not even paying attention to the records. We know last week we had a team come in here, Feather River, that we have battles with every single year. And they certainly didn't care about our record. And we had a tough ball game that we had to win at the end. And that's what this time of year is about. You see it at every level. You see it in the pros. You see it in the four-year level where, you know, you're coming out. And this time of year, a lot of teams are dealing with injuries and dealing with, you know, different things that they didn't have to deal with in the first couple weeks. And it's just a battle of attrition. So we're focused on Siskiyou's, and we certainly don't, you know, expect them to play like a winless team. We expect them to play like the Siskiyou's that we play every year, which is always difficult and tough.
We're talking to Brian Hamilton, head coach of the Shasta College Knights. You know, we talk about, oh, this is a cliche that is realistic. The only poll that matters is in the end. You guys climbed back up some, 17th in the JCAC, I think, the Sports Information poll. Mm-hmm. You're at 12. But the one I think that's the big one is the National NorCal Regional, and that's why I was hinting at, and you touched on, in that so we know San Mateo is, you know, they're, of course, they're going to have to finish the job, too. They're number one, but the next couple of teams there, two of the next three teams there are teams that you face the last 2 weeks of the season here against American River and then at Butte to close it out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I told my team this week and last week, you play games all year long to play meaningful games in November. And we put ourselves in that position, and we know that, you know, a lot of our hard work throughout the year has paid off, and we are in a position where these are meaningful games. We just got to go out and do our thing. We got to go out and be a little bit better on offense than we were last week. We got to continue to play strong defense. We had a couple slip-ups last week on special teams, which is uncharacteristic of us. We've been very good and very dominant in special teams, so we expect to get back on that. We're going to need to do those things well, not only Saturday, but then if we, you know, moving on for the following weeks, and then we put ourselves already in a position where we're bowl eligible. So, you know, we have four more games we're planning on, and every single week the opponent, I think, gets a little bit better. And so we got to match that. But, you know, that's what's fun. You know, going into the season after a 2-8, you know, team last year and 2-8 season, to be sitting at 6-1 and to be sitting in a position where these games matter and where we can look at each week and say this is a big game and not just, hey, we're trying to, you know, get back on the winning track or something like that. That's where we want to be, and that's where this program wants to be, and that's where we are. So we're enjoying it. We know it's, you know, we got some good company with the teams we got to play, but that's the whole point of how hard we work and what our goals are as a program.
Last week that game was 2016, and I know that you alluded to an illegal kick late that your defense had to do what defenses have to do, and I know you had to be really proud of them. I mean, Ramirez got a field goal that gave you a little bit of breathing room, and then you wound up having to hold them a little tighter than you'd hoped when it was all said and done. But you guys did it, and you know, we talk so much about defense and controlling the clock, and you did both those, it looks like, last week.
You know, we've controlled the clock the entire year. We were able to get, you know, I think we snapped it somewhere around 77 times, and we've been holding teams in the 50s as far as how many times they snap it, and that's kind of by design. Of course, we would like to score more points. We had two guys go over 100 yards rushing. We rushed it for around 240 yards. We were very effective in our rush in our game. We only turned it over once, and the week before when we played down at Sierra, we turned it over six times. I don't care who you're playing on the road, especially, you're going to get beat. And we did, you know, I mean, we deserve to lose that game turning it over that. So we rectified some things, and we kind of screwed around at the end and did some uncharacteristic things on special teams. And, And that almost hurt us, but our defense has been nails all year long, and they stepped up. And Feather River had four plays to from the 25-yard line to get it down into a position to score, and our defense didn't allow 1 yard in that situation. So really proud of those guys. And we're going to need those that kind of contribution from our defense throughout the rest of the year and for us to be have a chance at this thing.
Just want to hold you for a couple more minutes, not too much longer. I know you're probably itching to get out of that car, out of your truck. But you mentioned the 200-yard rushers, Tyler Boston, 115, Matt McCree, 103. And, you know, we're not even hearing some of the other names that we've heard this year, Vinny Smith, for example.
Yeah, Vinny, unfortunately, we lost in that Sierra game real early in the game. We lost Vinny to a high ankle sprain, and we lost our top receiver, James Lee, to a hip pointer. And they're still out. We'll see. Both of them are working, trying to get it, you know, on the field on Saturday. We'll see how that goes. But, Tyler Boston stepped up and he really did a nice job. You know, he's a terrific back. He just kind of been sitting behind a couple of guys. And when his number was called this week, he did his job, and he's a tremendous football player. I'm really excited about him this week. Really excited about his future in our program. And he's the real deal. And then Matt McCree's got a lot of, games under his belt. And he did what he does, which is be consistent in the run game and get some footballs as well. And so, you know, we had to adapt to a little more running game last week because of our situation with our receivers. And our team did that. And I was proud of our offensive line as well. They did a nice job.
You know, I don't know. This is kind of more situational about dealing with the power outage, school being out. It's always a flip of the coin for a college coach, I think, Yeah, you want, you know, they're kids, right? And you deal with extremely young kids, too, as far as college goes. So you like them to be in school because, you know, they got somewhere to be. They're not just, playing video games.
That's for sure.
Right? Or out eating three meals somewhere at mom's house. But beyond that, is there any way this kind of stuff can bring the team together where you kind of have to hunker down a little bit more or –
I don't know. I mean, we'll find out Saturday. But the guys, you know, they've had a good week of practice. We've been energetic. I told them that there's no reason for them to be tired. They're not getting up at 6 a.m. for their morning lifts, and they're they're not having to go to class and things. So they should be rested. They should be fresh. But I don't know. We'll find out if it has any effect on Saturday. You know, we'll see. But right now, we're trying to limit the distractions as much as possible. And just focus on our game. And I think so far for a Wednesday, I feel comfortable where we're at. We need to button some things down and be, have a couple more great days of practice. But I feel like Saturday, we're a mature football team and we've got veterans in the right spots. And I think those guys will be ready to play and they understand where we are in the season. And they understand how important the Siskiyous game is. And they understand what kind of effort we're going to get from Siskiyous against us. They're expecting a dogfight. And we've been in a lot of dogfights this year. We're kind of playing NFL style games. Mm-hmm. And so if it's one of those type of games, we've been there and we've been successful in those type of games. So it doesn't bother us at all.
So with that game with Siskiyous, a 2 o'clock kickoff on the road?
1 o'clock kickoff.
1 o'clock kickoff. So tell us what the travel plan is. I mean, I'm assuming you guys bus up in the morning or do you go the night before?
Yeah, no, we'll get up and have breakfast together in the morning and then we're going to get on a bus and it's only about an hour and 20-minute trip up there. The weather's supposed to be beautiful up there. So hopefully a lot of people from this area will come on up with us. We had a great road crowd with us down at Sierra. Unfortunately, we were unable to come through for them, but we travel real well with our fans. And I know being a rivalry game, we'll get a lot of people up there and it's supposed to be in the low 60s up there, which for this time of year up there is beautiful. And it's a beautiful setting up there. It should be a great football game. 1 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. So, we're looking forward to it, and this is one of our least, as far as distance and complicated travel schedules, as far as on Saturday. So, yeah, that shouldn't be an issue at all for us.
And as opposed to some other years where that can be a horrible trip if we've got bad weather, the weather is really important, as you mentioned in this one.
As you guys know, especially with these winds, California can get very windy and nasty up there this time of year, but weather forecasts calling for no wind and about no clouds and sunshine, and so God's grace on this game for us as far as the weather, and we're looking forward to it.
Last question, and I'm not asking you to look ahead, but you have your last scheduled home game of the season in 2 weeks, and in case we don't have a chance to talk to you on the air, anything special about that last scheduled home game against American River? The fans want to go ahead and start circling that one on their calendar, right?
Yeah, and, you know, last week we were supposed to have a 6 o'clock p.m. kickoff. Everybody around here loves night games. This is kind of a special environment. We unfortunately had to switch to 2 because of the power. So we're looking forward to getting the ARC game, our last home game, on at 6 o'clock. And we'll have sophomore night, so we're going to honor our sophomores who will be moving on. We also have our annual toy drive. It's something I started a few years ago in which if you bring a new toy for, you know, a child, a male or female child, you get in the game free, and then we take those to needy children throughout the community that need Christmas gifts, and that's always been an awesome thing for us. A couple years ago, we went up and went to Mercy Hospital and delivered them up there. Last year, we actually delivered them to the Paradise fire victims. Wow. And so we, you know, that's next week as well, so we hopefully our fans will show up with toys. And we also have our California recruit night that night, which local high schools and California high schools will bring their recruits in. We'll feed them a dinner and then let them watch the football game. So a lot going on in our last home game. And the most important thing is the big game against American River football, you know, American River College, who has a tremendous program. So we get past this one on Saturday. We're going to be laser focused on that one with a lot of things going on for the fans on Saturday night.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, Coach Brian Hamilton. Shasta College Knights, go get them on Saturday at College of Siskiyous, and we'll talk to you down the road here soon.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All righty. So that was fun. I'm glad we got a chance to talk to Coach. We weren't sure if he was going to be able to call us. I completely would like to thank him for that because I just threw it out there at the last minute, and it was nice of him to tune in. Jared, can we take a break here? All right. We're going to take a quick break. Thanks again. We'll talk a little bit about high school football when we come back. This is Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber, your host. Be here until 7.
So what's Scorecard Scribblings all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
We're Billy and Patrick for Redding Kia. We both own Kias, and we love them.
It's Customer Appreciation Month with some of the best deals of the year on the cars and SUVs Redding loves to drive.
Gas prices are ridiculous right now. Drive a 2019 Kia Niro CUV, get an estimated 50 miles per gallon, and receive $1,500 in Kia customer cash. That's a customer appreciation deal.
Or how about a super affordable 2020 Kia Sportage with all-wheel drive? Winter's coming, and if you want to go anywhere, on-road or off, this is your SUV. Get your best price and $2,000 Kia customer cash at Redding Kia.
And every Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, the best in the business. Warranty's a limited powertrain warranty. See Kia.com or retailer for details.
Sale ends 10/31/2019. Billy is the marketing manager for Redding Kia.
For the vehicles Northern California loves to drive, nobody does it better than Redding Kia. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, 418 East Cypress, RedingKia.com.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hell of a shot. Sorry, it got wasted. Jeez. I don't know what to do with these guys.
This is from Bull Durham. You're listening to one of my favorite clips.
I'd be a nice guy.
So they're,
I'm a nice guy.
They're shaving, and the manager's talking to Kevin Constance.
Your kids, scare them.
So he goes in the shower, and here's what happens. He throws some bats in there. This is classic.
Everybody in the shower! Anybody in the shower in 10 seconds going to get fined $100!
One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi,
get in
five
there.
Mississippi,
hurry it up.
Six Mississippi, seven Mississippi, eight Mississippi, nine Mississippi, ten Mississippi.
You guys... You lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout.
You know what that makes you?
You know what that makes you? Larry?
Lollygag.
Lollygaggers. What's our record, Larry?
8-16.
How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball.
And that is the wisdom of the game of baseball. And I tell you what, nobody has done it better this year than Houston and Washington. But I wonder if Dave Martinez, when his team was just stinking it up at the start of the season, if he gave the lollygagger speech. I'm just not sure that anybody could do that nowadays. Rick Bassetti and I talked about that. Anyway, Houston leading Washington 1-0. It's a heck of a pitcher's matchup. Gosh, I'm going to miss that game for a few months. We'll have to talk more football and basketball once baseball is over, but you know which one I like the most. So we'll keep you up to date on this. Right now we're going to talk high school football, though. It's our game of the week coming up on Friday night, Lassen and West Valley. And I tell you what, this is a huge conference matchup. And, you know, I've been pointing to this schedule because we saw Lassen on our game of the week. It was their opening game. I'm pretty sure it was their opening game. They really thumped Enterprise, and they looked really, really good. And we didn't know that Enterprise was going to struggle like they did, but they thumped Enterprise 38-22, and they dominated the things that we talk about so much. I just talked with Shasta College's Brian Hamilton about the same thing. In high school and college football, because it's not like the NFL where every team has big play capability at every skill position. That's not necessarily the case in high school and in good college matchups, just general college matchups. So controlling the clock and turnovers is so critical. They did have a turnover in that game that led to an Enterprise comeback, but Lassen dominated that thing. And since then, they beat Foothill, and we know Foothill's good. They scored 50 on Foothill. They beat Corning. They scored 41 on Corning. They beat Central 48-7 with a running clock, and they beat Lassen 41-8. Coming into this game, whether it's good or bad, and we'll hopefully talk to their coach on game day on Friday. Normally we'll try to interview the coaches in advance, but I decided I wanted to just talk to them the last day so we can get the most up-to-date information. And when we talk to their coach on Friday, we'll find out that they had a forfeited win over Wairika. And did that hurt them? Does that help them? Because they actually wound up with, I believe, 2 weeks off. Because they had their bye week last week. So Lassen comes in. They ought to be healthy, but they haven't played a game in a couple of weeks. And so they do have, unless I'm seeing something wrong here, that's their, those are the common opponents that they have. I might be looking at that schedule a little wrong. Let's get that for sure. That's the common opponents with West Valley. I'll now try to get you up to date on what is actually the truth about Lassen. let me look at their schedule again. Kind of might have messed that one up a little bit. I was talking about their six. Those were their six wins that would go head to head with West Valley. But they beat Las Plumas 41-6. They lost to Chico. So yeah, it's a rival game, but still. You know, Chico's a bigger school. It's a bigger division. They won at Enterprise 38-22. Enterprise had a good comeback in that game, but Lassen was never in doubt in that game. They crushed Foothill. Well, they outscored Foothill, but they put 50 on the board against Foothill. Corning, they beat 41-10. Central, they beat 48-7. Anderson, they beat 41-8. And then the forfeit over Wairika. So the only one I missed there for you was that loss to Chico. But, yeah, that last game they played was the 18th at Anderson. And so now we're looking at the first at West Valley. So it's, you know, been a couple of weeks since they've played. It helps them. Will they be healthier? Will they be more prepared? And so on. Will that play into their favor? West Valley, of course, has only lost once in the last calendar year. They haven't lost since Enterprise beat them a year ago in the regular season, and then they lost in the state championship game in the bowl game last year, but they won the Northern Section, and they're running the table for the first time in West Valley history. They are undefeated at this point in the season. They're in uncharted territory, and for West Valley, you know, they're the team that we're covering. They're our local team, and it's exciting. They're 9-0 overall. They've outscored their opponents 328-113. And before you start thinking that, well, they must have played a soft schedule, they beat Shasta to start things off. They played at Foothill. Both of those, and in fact, and they won at Enterprise. All three of those are bigger divisions, right? Aren't they? I've got to get that all correct. But all three of those are the Shasta teams, right? I mean, the Redding teams, and they ran the table, essentially, although Foothills is from Palo Cedro. We know that, but that was huge. Then they won at Red Bluff, 53-14, and at Central, 48-0 in the Valley Bowl. At Orland, 27-7. That was a tough one. There was a battle down there, but a big win. Anderson down a little bit. We did that game for you. Did not... kind of got out of hand a little in the end, but they certainly had the horses, and they played a nearly flawless game in beating the Cubs 60-29. Then there was a forfeit for them the next week at Wairika. Both teams have had that forfeit, taking advantage of Wairika's issues. So a week ago, setting this one up, they beat Corning 42-9. They've not had a close game since week two, August 30th. Which essentially was week zero. They have not had a close game since they rallied to beat Foothill in the end, 20-14. So this is some kind of matchup. Both these teams can control the football. Both these teams can control the clock. Lassen has thrown the ball more. Brock Wolf, a higher passing rating, and he's thrown for over 160 yards a game. In the game that we saw him, Again, they dominated the line of scrimmage, and that is something West Valley has done. Kit McLuhan has been a runner passer. He has accounts for about 125 yards a game, but they have a couple of big backs, none bigger than Cade Lambert, who had an incredible game against Anderson that you may recall. They, as a team, as I said, they've only allowed 113 points in nine games so far this year. Offensively, we've talked a lot about their – I think they have some leadership, some balance. McLuhan does what he's asked to do. He does not turn the ball over as far as passing goes. They've got several guys with – in fact, six players with triple-digit rushing yardage. And that make mean, and that doesn't even count McLuhan. Lambert, 769 yards. Aguilar has 612 yards, and he's, we thought he was their big play threat until we saw what Lambert did against Anderson. Lambert scored 13 touchdowns. Between those two guys, seven 100-yard games. Then you've got Morosti, who averages 7 yards a carry. Dylan Booth, who comes off a wing, averages almost 11 a carry. Reginato, who comes off a wing, averages 8.5 a carry. Wacker, Ashton Wacker, has scored 4 touchdowns on just 21 carries. And then you got to add in Steele, who averages 6.5. All those guys, well, Wacker up, all those guys have 150 or more rushing. So West Valley has some very good depth this season. As far as Lassen, some of the names that we will be looking at and tell you a little bit more about and kind of refamiliarizing you with from the game that we did earlier this year. Wolf is their quarterback, and he throws for about 56%. He's thrown 16 touchdowns. They like to throw it down near the end zone, and they were always considered a pound-and-ground team. So the passing game has been the real big difference, particularly their ability to score through the pass. So this is going to be one where I'm going to have to be on my toes when it comes down to scoring time in the booth. That'll be Friday night in Cottonwood at the Pasture. It'll be packed. It'll be sweater, sweatshirt weather. Lassen's fans are boisterous. They are loud. They travel. They get crazy. And that side of the field will be loud. And West Valley's fans are boisterous, and they are loud. They may get crazy, but I expect it to be some kind of game. Offensively, they, too, have two big backs, Nick Valdez and Fowler. Fowler's just a junior, but he has 300-yard games. Valdez, a couple hundred-yard games. He's more of the banger, but he averages over 8 yards a carry. Pretty impressive. And the big thing for them, as I mentioned, is the passing. They have one guy, Ogburn, who has 37 receptions. In high school football, that's about as good as it gets. 37 receptions. So you could expect to see some of what West Valley did against Enterprise. Ogburn's very athletic, so what they'll probably try to do is mix and match on him a little bit, maybe box him out a little bit, do some matchup zone with him. They'll try to come out, I'm sure, man-to-man on him across out of the gate, but this is a guy that averages over 100 yards a game catching the football, so over 19 a reception. And then Fowler, out of the backfield, averages 19.5 yards. So when they pass, the average reception is over 18 yards. That's not all downfield yardage, by the way. That's catch and run in a couple of those cases. And so I think it's just shaping up to be a great football game. It is not the only great football game that's shaping up this weekend. We mentioned earlier that we will be doing the Foothill Shasta game. We are not going to be broadcasting the Foothill Shasta game, but we will have Dan Miller will be at the Shasta game, and he'll be bringing us updates throughout the night, score by score, quarter by quarter. And post-game, he'll be breaking in with me while I will be out in Cottonwood. He will be in Redding, and I think that'll give us the best of both worlds. You'll be able to keep up with both live on Friday night, wherever you are listening to that game. All right, we're going to take another break. It's still a 1-0 Game 7 of the World Series. It's in the fifth, so I'll give you another update on that when we come back, and then I'm going to have a little trip back into the glory days coming up in just a few minutes, too. So stick with us. This is Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber.
Come on in to Black Bear Diner, where the portions are bear-sized and the service makes you feel at home. With breakfast served all day, anytime's right to dig into our one-of-a-kind sweet cream pancakes, Bear Benedicts, or generous sides of thick-cut bacon and tantalizing sausage patties, house-made from our signature recipe. Whenever you do breakfast, do it at Black Bear Diner, because around here, every plate comes with heaping helpings of happiness.
Black Bear feels like home.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
This is a clip from Field of Dreams, very famous.
People will come, Ray.
That's James Earl Jones.
They'll come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course, we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it. But it is money they have and peace they like.
Ray, just sign the papers.
And they'll walk out to the bleachers. Sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines. Where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game. And it'll be as if they'd dipped themselves in magic waters. The memories will be so thick, they'll have to brush them away from their faces.
Ray, when the bank opens in the morning, they'll foreclose.
People will come, Ray.
You're broke, Ray. You sell now or you lose everything.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good and it could be again. People will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Yes, indeed. What a great movie. Huh? If you love baseball, even if you don't, that's a movie about hope. All right. Anyway, a lot of fun giving you those clips. We'll have to get – I'm looking for some football clips. I got some favorites. We'll start pulling some of those for next week. Baseball World Series, it's still Houston up 1-0, Game 7. Let's turn back time, right? Look back into the glory days when I was a sportscaster for CNN. There was this guy named Jeff Bagwell who was having a great career, but he just couldn't stay healthy. And now he's a Hall of Famer. But back then the question was, would he even be able to play the game long enough? So I pulled this one down from my website. You can learn more about me at scorecardscribblings.com. But if you go to youtube.com/actionfigurestv, actionfigurestv, that's where you'll find a bunch of my other stories. And that's where this one comes from. Let's listen from way back when, mid-90s, the story about Keith Bagwell.
Deja vu are dirty words to Houston's Jeff Bagwell.
Did I say Keith Bagwell? Jeff Bagwell.
Three solid seasons in a row, busted up by a broken bone in his left hand.
To have it happen 3 years in a row, that was a tough thing. You know, the year started out bad enough as it was, where I was hitting 180 for 6 weeks. Then to get everything, start getting back, to swinging back good again, and all of a sudden for this to happen, it was like, oh my God, not again.
Look out. I think he's jacked one. Has he ever? It's up there again. How about it?
So call this Jeff Bagwell's year to catch up, way up. His 96 numbers rank at or near the top of the league in almost every offensive category. And among the Astros' single-season records already in jeopardy are his own marks of 39 homers and 116 RBI.
I want him at the plate if the game is on the line, because when there's RBIs and there's guys in scoring position, or even if there's a guy on first base, he drives them in. And if you look at his numbers, they back it up.
When you're talking about someone that's a threat and they come up with guys on base, even with a guy on first base, Jeff Bagwell is right at the top of the list. Him, along with Matt Williams, Barry Bonds, come to mind, Fred McGriff. Mention all those guys, you're going to get the same kind of production.
Yet Bagwell is still often known more for his injuries than those numbers, partly because he plays in small market Houston, and partly because he's yet to lead the Astros to the postseason.
I called it a small market.
Our club, and if we can get into the playoffs, you get into the postseason, then everybody's going to have the notoriety. And that's not a big thing to me. You know, that's something that I think I have the respect of my peers, and as long as I have that, then that's all that matters.
It would seem prudent that Bagwell change something to avoid another broken bone, and he is wearing this new protective batting glove designed to lessen the impact of a thrown ball. But he insists beyond that, nothing has changed about his devil-may-care attitude at the plate.
If I'm thinking about getting hit by a ball when I'm up at the plate, I'm in big trouble. I really am, because then I'm not thinking about hitting the baseball. I'm thinking about pulling off the ball and things like that. So I have to think about, you know, what I'm supposed to do at that particular time.
He is what he is. That's his stance. That's the way he swings the bat. He has all the confidence in the world on this guard. So therefore, he stayed aggressive at home plate. He stayed in there. He hasn't backed off anything. And that's one of the things that makes him a good player and a good hitter.
Bagwell has thus far played in every game this season with the goal of playing in all 162 for the first time since 1992. Considering that the Astros fell one game short of the playoffs last year, his name on the lineup card for a full season could prove to be more than just a luxury. In Los Angeles, Brent Weber, CNN Sports.
Hey, and that's when I worked for CNN Sports. To tell you how wrong I was, that season that we were going into, or we were in the middle of, the first of 3 out of 4 years that Bagwell played all 162 games, which just doesn't happen. And most of his career from that point on, he remained injury free. Fewest games he played was in 1998, but Bagwell indeed went on to be a Hall of Fame player. And why are we talking about Jeff Bagwell? Well, he and the other part of the Killer Bees, Craig Biggio, throughout the first pitch tonight in Houston. Astros, by the way, have taken a 2-0 lead now in the fifth, but they threw out the first pitch tonight. Two of the more beloved players that you will have seen in baseball, certainly of that era. Guys loved Bagwell. They absolutely loved playing with him and respected playing against him in his career. He hit 297, 449 home runs, and he was a fourth-round draft pick out of college in Connecticut. So that ought to tell you something. So Bagwell, Biggio, together, they were something special. Well, we'll just have to wait till next week to talk about whoever wins the World Series. I would like to thank Brian Hamilton for joining us tonight, the head coach of the Shasta College Knights. We wish them well and let you know they'll be at home. They're on the road this weekend, but a week from Saturday might be a great night for you to head out to the ballpark, bring a new toy, and you get in free. That's a week from Saturday at Shasta College.